Amen. Thank you very much. Just stepping on Jordan, finding the hole. I say amen right there. Amen. It means we'll see Jesus and all our loved ones gone before and all the saints of all the ages. So heaven sounds pretty good to me. I hope it does to you. It is good to be here. Sorry that Brother Jody's sick, and do pray for him and all of his family. So just pray for them. But it is good to be here and brag on Jesus another time. Turn your Bibles, if you will, please. Luke 18, verse 35. So Becky called me this morning about Luke 18, 35, page 1102 in your old Schofield Reference Bible, King James Version. Say amen there. Amen. You better say, I'll tell Brother Clarence on you. But it is good to be here in God's house this morning. Becky called me about 5:30 this morning up here at the church. Then she got Jody on the phone, and he'd been up and down, I think, most of the night. So they asked if I'd preach, and I said, well, I'd be glad to teach Sunday school. So after being here 46 years, I happen to have around 2,000 or 3,000 sermons stuck here and there. And so I didn't have to just make up, try to find out which one the Lord wants me to preach. So I dusted off a couple of them, one for Sunday school. I've been teaching in a Bible college on Thursday night in Bristol, and I talked about Daniel 2. It's a great chapter. Then this morning, I want us to look at this passage I believe the Lord would have me to preach on the healing of this blind man. Luke 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That'll get the job done, won't it? Start crying, Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Let's bow our heads and let's pray for Pastor Brother Jody, pray for everything going on throughout the church today and pray for this service. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege one more time, this side of eternity, Lord, to meet together in God's house with God's people and fellowship together around the Word of God and the things of the Lord. Lord, help us today. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, I pray. May we get something from your precious word. May the Holy Spirit, the author of the word of God, Lord, take the word of God and bless it deeply in the hearts and souls of all of us here. And Lord, just have your way in this service. Meet needs. Somebody here not saved, somebody with a problem, a great need that they need help from above, I pray they'll look to the Lord and leave here with those needs met. Now anoint me, Lord. I've been down the road a long time preaching. I know I can't preach without you helping. So may the Holy Spirit of God anoint me, anoint his word. May Jesus get glory in this service. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Now, by way of introduction, before I get to the thing the Lord laid on my heart to emphasize this morning, there are four things I want to point out in this passage of scripture I read. First of all, a picture, then a person, a protest, and a power. First of all, a picture. In verse 35, we see this poor blind man as he sat there outside of Jericho, just visualized, sitting out there begging. Somebody had to lead him by his hand to get him there. He never saw a beautiful sunset. He never gazed up into the starry heavens and could marvel in God's beautiful creation, or never saw a mountain range. Probably, we don't know, but he was probably blind from birth. And my heart goes out to him. And anytime I see a blind person, my heart goes out to him. But he was blind, and he's helpless, and he's hopeless. And so is every unsaved person in this world. Everyone. Every person in this world who does not know Christ as his Savior and who's not been born again. By the way, we need in our churches, I think, more and more to emphasize you've got to be born again. Just making little, I like decisions, and I like to see people coming and making professions and signing cards. I like all that. But folks, there's a difference in signing a card and making a profession and getting born again. I mean, when you get born again, you get born again. Jesus is real. The Holy Spirit takes up his abode within your bosom. And now, but this man was not only blind, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:1 that we're not only blind, an unsaved person, only blind, but we're dead in trespasses and sins. We're helpless. All unsaved people are helpless to save themselves. And this poor blind man could do nothing to cure himself of his blindness. And listen, no unsaved person can do one thing to save their never dying soul. Only Jesus has power to save. You can't save yourself. Gene Lashley can't save you. The Pope can't save you. No king or president or any head of state can save you. You know why? You know why no one else can do it? Because Jesus sort of has a monopoly on the saving business, doesn't he? And there is no hope for this blind man in verse 35 here, this poor blind man. And a lost man is without hope in this life and the life to come. We need to see that today. God help us to see that our friends and loved ones are lost. They're lost. Right. They're not going to be lost, folks, when they die and go to hell. They're lost right now, right this very. The condemnation of God is resting upon them right now. They're just, if they're without Christ, if you're without Christ sitting here this morning, or our friends out there without Christ, people around the world without Christ, they're one heartbeat out of a burning hell. And folks, we need to see that. And it ought to drive us who are saved into the soul-winning business. And you who are unsaved this morning, you ought to, when the invitation's given, or you want to come down here before it's given, and run to this altar and cry out like the blind man did, Jesus, have mercy on me. And I'll guarantee you, he won't turn a deaf ear to you if you'll do it. So a picture. Then a person. That poor blind man sat there in his rags by the side of the road to Jericho. He'd stick out his cup and could hear footprints approaching, and begging so he could keep body and soul together. But all of a sudden, he heard a great commotion. And he said, hey, bud, he said, who is that person causing all this hullabaloo? And they said in verse 37, it was Jesus of Nazareth who was passing by. And what an opportunity. It was he'd been begging all of his life and been blind. But here's the chance of a lifetime. He heard how Jesus had claimed to be the Christ of God. And he heard that Jesus had healed the leper and made the lame to walk and turned the water into wine and even walked on the water himself. And he heard that Jesus had touched the eyes of the blind, and they were made ever with hope. So it was his opportunity. He was not going to let it pass by. And he cried at the top of his voice, as we find in verse 38, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. And in verse 39, they told him to shut up, but he wouldn't be denied. And he cried even louder this second time, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the poor blind man, was crying out to the right person, wasn't he? He was crying out to the Son of the living God, the one who spoke the world into existence. He was crying to the one who, and also he knows all about us. He knows all about us this morning. And then I'm glad that he's interested in each one of us as individuals. I'm glad he's interested in me. I'm glad The Lord Jesus is interested in you, and he's interested in all of our problems and all of our needs. And did Jesus hear the cry of this poor, despised beggar sitting there by the side of the road in this wretched condition? Oh, yes, he did. I'm glad of that. And thank God Jesus cares about each one of us. And Jesus, my friend, in this big crowd here this morning, thank God for this fine crowd. But, you know, Jesus cares about each one of us. He cares about each one of you. You say, well, nobody cares about me, preacher, lastly. Oh, you're wrong. You know, not many people really. You know, folks, not many people care where you live or die. Not many. But some do. Some do. But if no one cares about you this morning, there's one who cares, and that's Jesus. He cares about you. As the song says, oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Then look at verse 40 and 41 and how precious this scene is. Jesus stopped by and said, wait a minute. Bring that poor beggar to me. And they brought him to Jesus. And in verse 41, Jesus said, what wilt thou have me to do? And without hesitation, he said, Lord. And that was enough right there. When he said, Lord, that was enough. And he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And so the right person passed by that poor blind man that day. And his name was Jesus. Sweetest name on mortal tongue. Sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus. I'm telling you what, I've been preaching for 50-something years, and it's been a privilege all these years just to lift up the name of Jesus. Isn't it something to give a man, to call a man for all of his lifetime just to preach Jesus? And you young preachers, that's what you're supposed to preach, Jesus. I'm a Baptist, but I'm glad Jesus got to me before the Baptist got to me. Amen. So a picture and a person, then a protest. Notice in verse 39, the protest, the party with Jesus. When they heard the poor blind beggar crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They said, shut up. Jesus is too busy for you. He's in a hurry to get to Jerusalem. You know, I'm glad Jesus loves poor people, don't you? I'm just as much as he loves the rich people, too. He loves the rich and the poor. And if he hadn't loved the poor people, I wouldn't have got in the night I got saved. And as you know, I've told you many times, I was a son of a poor coal miner. Daddy's a good man, loved God, great American. He just, coal miner didn't make much money back then. We didn't have much. We never owned a car. We walked everywhere we went. And no, we never had an indoor bathroom. Oh, listen, isn't it a blessing to have an indoor bathroom? I told you about this, come across my mind. I was hitchhiking one time, and a man picked me up and dropped me off in front of the Bob Jones University campus, and he had a Cadillac. And I said, this is a wonderful thing. Boy, it impressed me, a Cadillac. And he said, the second greatest invention ever invented. I said, what's first? And he said, when they moved the bathroom indoor. I'm sort of in agreement. But anyway, let me get back. You all not got me. But we didn't have running water except the creek behind the house, and never had a telephone or television or refrigerator. We had an ice box. How many of you have ever had an ice box? Oh, you know the gospel then, don't you? I had to go to the store, down to the ice house in the midsummer, get a big block of ice, bring it home, stick it in that ice box. And I thought that's a great thing. Iced tea in the summer in Southern Tennessee, as hot as it gets down there, it's wonderful. But anyway, I was shy and bashful, but thank God, Jesus passed by this poor boy. When, you know, I didn't realize I was poor. Somebody had to tell me it was. I thought it was done. I had plenty to eat, something to wear, enjoying life, and got saved at 13. So I thought I was in pretty good shape. But thank God, over 60 years ago at Oak Street Baptist Church, Jesus passed by my way. And he took time to save me. And I went back home that night, went to bed. And you know what? When you really get saved, invite Jesus into your life, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You know that? And he put a hope of heaven in my soul. That is, and you know, that hope of heaven has never left me. All these years, since a 13-year-old boy got saved, I've had a hope of heaven. I want to see Jesus someday. All my loved ones have gone on before. I'm telling you, old-time religion will give you a hope of heaven in your soul. So don't miss the real thing. Don't settle for church membership. Don't settle for anything less than the new birth. Amen. If you miss the new birth, you'll miss heaven. You must, Jesus said, be born again. So this poor blind man started crying to Jesus for mercy. Is that me or is somebody else making all that noise? Me? Well, I'll take this thing off. It'll be better, I guess. You just pardon me just a minute, will. Put it up, Brother Gary. Hitting on my coat. Well, can you hear me right here? Okay, turn this on right here then. I can't help it. I'll take my coat off, my shoes off, or whatever. That's all of them. Okay, now can you hear me? We're back in business. Now, where was I before that crazy contraction got in? Let's see. Oh, yeah. Anyway, this poor blind man started crying to Jesus for mercy. And the people tried to hinder him. And folks, this has been going on for 2,000 years. Every time a person comes to Jesus and gets saved, you know, his worldly friends, and they'll laugh at him. They'll laugh at you. And even mock at you. And they'll avoid you. When you get born again, your worldly friends, you won't have to leave them. They'll leave you like you've got the 7-year itch, I'll tell you that. They won't want to get around that. And the world has never been or ever will be a friend of grace. They just won't do it. And if you get saved and live for Jesus, you can expect your unsaved friends at school, at work, and many times, you know, even in your own home to hinder you. I remember when I went off to play football in college down in Mississippi, junior college, first year. I mean, I thought I was in another world. When you don't ever have a car and you have to walk everywhere you went, you go 400 miles. It's like going to Pluto or somewhere, you know. But there's an old boy, I loved the old boy. He's a red, a guard from Bogalusa, Louisiana. And he would laugh at me all the time because I wouldn't go out to the beer joints with him, run around after women and all like that. And he'd laugh. But you know what? He got hurt and had to go home for surgery. And when nobody's around, he slipped in and he called me Soddy. And he said, Soddy, I got to have surgery and I want you to pray for me. He wants you to pray for me. Yeah, when death stares me in the face or serious surgery, if you've got a testimony, they'll come around and want you to pray for them. And this poor blind man here didn't let their protest stop him from getting the attention of Jesus. And don't you either. A picture, a person, and a protest. I better get my watch off here so I can let you out before supper time. One other thing, before I get to my message. A power. This poor blind man, he's a beggar, had no money, nothing. He had nothing to cure his blindness. Friends and family couldn't cure him. Medical science couldn't. But there was one who had power to make those blinded eyes to see. And that one was Jesus. I'm glad he has all power. He had all power in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, All power. That's all power. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth, and he has power to meet your need and my need this morning. I'm glad of that. And look at the miracle he performed in verses 42 and 43. And you say, Brother Lashley, Do you believe in the miracles of Christ? As I used to say in Saudi, Tennessee, I sure do. Thank you. I don't understand them, and you don't either. But I just believe, listen, folks, I believe exactly what the Bible says. I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. I believe what I understand, and I believe what I don't understand. And if you don't believe this miracle here, this healing this blind man, your trouble doesn't start here in Luke 18. You know where your trouble starts? It's back in Genesis 1:1. That's where your trouble starts. I mean, if you believe Genesis 1:1, you can believe the rest of the Bible. If you, listen, anytime you bring God into the equation, business picks up, doesn't it? In the beginning, the first verse of the Bible says, God created the heaven and the earth. How many of you believe that this morning? Amen. Brother, I believe it, whether you do or not, because God said it. And I have, since I believe Genesis 1:1 and the power of God, I have no trouble believe whatsoever in believing Luke 18:42 and 43. Look at these two verses. In verse 42, the Son of God, who had power to speak the worlds into existence, said to this poor blind beggar, receive thy sight. And verse 43, the word of God says, and notice how soon it was. Immediately he received his sight. He can see now. Immediately. He had been blind for many years, but hallelujah, praise God, the man sees now. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Amen. Praise the Lord. Notice two things. He did two things when the Lord healed him. First of all, he followed Jesus. He followed Jesus. And second, he praised God. And we who are saved, we ought to follow Jesus wherever he leads. You'll be better off in life if you just do what the Lord wants you to do. And go where he wants you to do. Be what he wants you to be. Just follow Jesus, regardless what it is. And then follow him, praising his name. Just learn to praise his name. The Lord, he shows up where people praise him. You know that? Just praise his name, he'll bless you. Now, I've given you, how long have I been? I've given you a 20-minute introduction. Now I'm going to give you about a 5 or 6 minute message, 7 minute message. Now, speech teacher, you'd flunk me on speech if you'd grade this sermon today. They teach you got to reverse that. You have to give a good talk. You have to take 5 or 6 minutes and give an introduction. Then about 20, 25-minute message. But I'm doing a little different this morning. And as I read this chapter a few years ago, the Lord laid on my heart that question in verse 41 that Jesus asked this poor blind man. And this is the message. I'm giving you my long introduction. Now I'm giving you a message. We'll be out here shortly. And this is a message the Lord wants me to bring this morning to every person in this building. Jesus asked this poor blind man almost 2,000 years ago, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. The Lord met his need, and the Bible says he immediately received his sight. Now, I want to bring it down to where we live this morning. I felt the presence of the Lord in the music this morning. And the Lord Jesus is passing by this building this morning. I believe the Lord brought you here for a purpose. There's no accidents with God. It's not an accident. It's not an accident you're here. God brought you here for a purpose. Whatever your need is this morning, Jesus is passing by. And if you yield to him and cry out to him like this poor beggar, he can meet the need of your heart this morning. He loves you, and he is able to meet my need and your need this morning. And there's so many needs, so many burdens people have, and sometimes I'm helpless to do anything about it, but Jesus can meet our needs and help us. As we go down through life, Jesus can help us. Now, what do you want the Lord to do in your life this morning? You know, with all this good crowd, let's see, there's about 1,000, I estimate 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 sitting here this morning.
No, I don't know how many's here, but it's a good crowd. But he knows everything about you and me. Knows all about us. And one thing about it, praise his name. The Lord can help us. When we cry unto him, he can help us this morning. And he can help you. And so the Lord is passing by this morning, the one who created the heavens and the earth. And he loves you. He's able to meet your need. And what do you want Jesus? What? Let me ask you this question. What do you want Jesus to do for you in this service this morning? Maybe it's a burden that you just can't bear any longer. You say, preacher, my burdens are so heavy. I can't bear them. You know what Jesus said? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, just come on, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest in your soul. So if you have a burden that you just can't seem to bear, bring it to Jesus. Maybe it's a health problem. Now, you know, those who've been here a long time know how many health problems I've been to and been through, and the Lord has brought me through them. And I just, when I had a health problem, I'd go to the Lord and say, Lord, will you heal me? And if you just don't choose to heal me, Lord, just be with me. And I'll take it either way, either way. So the Lord can heal you. And if he doesn't choose to heal you, listen, he can be with you and help you with that burden. Thank the Lord. Maybe you're defeated this morning. And the Lord is not real to you like he used to be. You have no victory. And you read the Bible, and the Bible is a closed book. And you can't get a prayer through to God. You say, preacher, I'm saved, but I can't get a prayer through to God. And can't get much out of the Bible like I used to. Listen, I wouldn't go on like that if I were you. I wouldn't keep living. You don't have to. You don't have to. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I'm glad we can just come to the Lord and throw ourselves out on his mercy. And he'll help us as we go down through life. Maybe you have a wayward son or daughter. Maybe your marriage has severe problems. Maybe you have problems with friends or parents or people at work. You've tried everything else. Why don't you just try and come to Jesus and try him? Why don't you try him? And just come and lay on this altar this morning. Just lay that problem at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, I don't have the answer. Would you help? And I believe he'll come to your help this morning. And maybe you need to know maybe God's will. Maybe you're searching for God's will for your life. Just come on to Jesus. Just come to him. Psalm 37:5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He'll reveal his will to you. Maybe you're lost this morning, and you don't know Christ. You'd die now, you'd miss heaven. And you have no hope of heaven in your soul. Oh, it's terrible to go down through life, live without hope, and die without hope. What a terrible situation. Why don't you, if you're here without Christ and never been born again, before you know that you know that you know that you're saved, why don't you cry out to Jesus this morning and just say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He loves you, and he cares about you, and he won't turn a deaf ear if you'll come to him this morning. He said in John 6:37, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. There's no way, if you'll come to Jesus with whatever your need is, there's no way he'll cast you out. No way. Now look at the top of the page there, if you have a Scofield reference Bible. It says, you see there, AD 33. Now that's very important. It's because This is what I want to drive to your heart right now. Jesus passed through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, where he died on Calvary's cross. And he never passed through Jericho where that blind man would have been sick. Never passed through there again. This poor blind man had one chance for healing. One chance. And he took advantage of it. Jesus is passing by this morning. Tell them I'm not through preaching yet. Tell them, just give me about 5 more minutes. That happens to me, and it's embarrassing. I know, but I was going to laugh about it, hadn't I? why I leave mine in my office there, so I won't forget about it. But anyway, it happened to everybody. And I love you, whoever it is. But anyway, Jesus is passing by this morning. And you know, he may not pass by your way again if he's speaking to your heart. You know, I don't believe the Lord speaks to people's hearts but very few times in life. I believe it. And why don't you give, if the Lord's speaking to your heart and you know down deep you need to cast that burden on the Lord or get saved or get right with the Lord or whatever the need might be, why don't you come on to Jesus this morning? Just come and humble yourself before God. You say, preacher, I'll do it at home. Well, the Lord may want you to do it this morning right here. He may want you to do it this morning. And if he's speaking to you, he can meet your need, whatever it is. You know, I'm glad as a 13-year-old boy, I lived around the old-time religion, but I don't believe, as I've said many times before, that God really ever spoke to my heart, really, before, about getting saved. Till the night I got saved as a 13-year-old boy. In a revival, the Holy Spirit showed up. I've told you many, many times. And I'm glad that the first time the Lord ever really spoke to my heart, I came to him, and he saved me. And if you will come to Jesus this morning with your burden and with your need, I'll guarantee you, you'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he's saying to each one of you this morning, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? What do you want me to do for you? The Lord, if you would say that to him, Lord, this is my need. Lord, would you just help me with it? And he won't turn a deaf ear. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Everyone, unless it's an absolute emergency, we'll be through here shortly. Be here, stay right where you are for just a moment. How many here this morning say, preacher Lashley? Now, I didn't intend to preach this morning. I believe the Lord had me to preach on this message. This is what I felt. I've got hundreds of messages I could preach. This is one I believe the Lord wanted to preach. Because the Lord can meet our needs. Just cry out to him with that need this morning. Cast it on the Lord. He'll hear your cry. How many of you say, Brother Lashley, now whatever the need is, or maybe you're lost, not sure you're saved, or you got a burden or a health problem or some other problem that you don't have to tell me. Just come get on your knees and tell it to Jesus. You say, Preacher Lashley, pray for me. This morning there's a need in my life. Just raise your hand. There's a need in my life. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Others of you. Preachers, there's a need. Put your hands back down. Put your hands back down. Anyone else? In the balcony, up there, in the balcony. Preacher, I have a need in my life. I need the Lord's help. Pray for me. And up there. Now, right before I pray, maybe somebody here would say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I die right now, I don't know whether to go to heaven or not. Would you pray for me? I'd like to know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Or maybe you've backslid on God. You're just out of fellowship with the Lord. You were saved once and you've grown cold and you have a need. But right now, you have a spiritual need. Preacher, pray for me. Just slip your hand up right now, and I'll pray for you. Yes, God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing, Pass Me Not, O General Savior. Hear my humble cry, and he won't pass you by. Just come get on your knees if you have a need. You don't have to tell me or anybody. Just tell the Lord, the Holy Spirit wants you to come to this altar. Just come to this altar. Talk to the Lord about it and slip back to your seat. And if we need to pray with you, we'll be glad to pray with you. Just tell it to Jesus. We can help you, but only Jesus can really help you. He's the only one to take care of your needs. Let's pray. Father, I've preached, Lord, what I believe that you want me to preach today, Lord. Lord, I've tried to tell them that Jesus can meet our needs. Lord, I just pray that every hand, I don't know how many hands went up, a number did. You know the heart. You're all about each one of us. Lord, help us to cast our burdens on the Lord this morning. We know he'll sustain us and help us with these burdens. And you can save us. And if somebody here needs to rededicate their lives, we know that you still love them. You want to help them and bless them. You want to help people with needs of all descriptions. May people come and in this closing invitation, use this altar as a place where they cast their burdens on the Lord. And speak to our hearts, Lord. May heavenly business be done this morning. Jesus, I believe that you're passing by, and I ask you to touch hearts this morning as they yield to thee and cry out to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?
281.
281. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. The altar's open. Let's make it a time of prayer, casting our burdens on the Lord. Stand, 281. 281. If you raised your hand or if you didn't raise your hand, come on. Altar's open right now. Come on, right now. As we
pass me not, O gentle Savior.
That's right. Come on. Folks, let's use this altar for God's speaking to you. He can meet that need. Oh, when I've had great health needs, people can say good things to me, but when I went to the Lord and said, Lord, you heal me? Or Lord, if you don't choose to heal me, would you just be with me? And his presence will ride you out the storm. His presence, where he heals you, whatever the need is, if he'll be with you, come and cast that burden on. Brother Gary singing, heads bowed and eyes closed. Come, if the Lord's speaking to you.
Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet relief, healing there in deep contrition. Help my unbelief.
Up Jesus. I go home and eat a good meal and take a Sunday afternoon siesta knowing I've tried to lift him up. I can't help you. Jesus can. Amen. Amen. You pray for your pastor. Brother Gary will be preaching tonight. Pray for him. Then we have Mackenzie Arnold has accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. Is that right, Mackenzie? Amen. She's a fine, got a good smile on her face, hasn't she? All of you are happy for Mackenzie Arnold for trusting Christ as her Savior this morning. Say a big amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Be back tonight. God bless you. Brother Bob, dismiss us in prayer if you will.